Hey guys, this is Greg with the Brothers Wist number 39. What is it? It's 21st of January, 2017. We just finished off the inauguration. Everybody survived somehow. With us today from Virginia, Justin Miller. This is two in a row, right?
No, it's a record.
Man, it's a lot to live up to.
Having to get it, you know, really cuts into it. So I have to get the wife to put him down. Right when we do these, it's like bedtime for him. So I'm usually putting him down and reading books to him and stuff.
Gotcha.
Trying to get him to go to sleep.
Down. Why are you killing your children?
Go to bed! Go to bed!
Nah, he just gets a little NyQuil. Goes right to sleep. It's amazing. All right,
Benadryl.
Yeah, there you go. We've got Andrew Cox all the way from Austin, Texas. Not very far.
Not really.
Yeah.
Originally from Australia.
Yeah, we don't care anymore. You live in Austin now, so you're... You're in Texas.
You're in America.
Yeah.
Plan America.
Holla. All right.
Trump will send you back in a second.
No, the wall's going to trap him in. He's not going to be able to.
Oh, they'll trap him in.
Yeah. It's like that scene from Watchmen. It's like, I'm not stuck in here with you guys. You guys are trapped in here with me. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So enough of the banter. We've got a nice tight-knit team here. Let's get through some stuff. Let's get some crap done.
I'll be real quick.
Not like usual. All right, we're out. Thanks, guys. A little bit of just sort of news, I guess, right off the bat. Unimus 1.1.1 portal update. Going to throw this in here for Thomas. This is the first cast I can remember in a long time where he's not here. Maybe he actually decided to sleep. This is his one day a month he actually sleeps. But looking at his features, looks like he's doing some error correction. So if there's database loss or unexpected errors, you get a friendly message. I think that gives you a lot of good detail, which is nice. Auto send to dev team features for that kind of stuff. That's good. And then a few fixes, which is great. So if you are a Unimus fan, jump on that. I get you some of that sweet, sweet Unimus action. Either of you guys using it so far?
I haven't implemented it yet, no.
No.
I want
got
to.
It running as a test, but,
I just need to get off my butt and do it.
Yeah, I was looking at integration with our platform. So
Fair enough.
Yeah, it'd be a good sort of backup solution.
Mine's straight down to laziness. That's all it is.
I know.
Let's see.
I already have something. I already have Rancid running with Observium, so it's kind of hard for me to, you know, redev all that, and it doesn't work with Observium or Libre NMS as far as I know. So
just issue the challenge. I'm sure he can make it happen.
Oh, you could.
All right. Moving right along, Shinog is coming up in May. It's going to be Shinog 7. We'll have a link to it. I'm not sure who's going to be there or what's going on. I'm sure Mike's going to be up there. You know, he's in the Chicago area. Maybe Wilson will make it. But I know also Tom Kupchinski, is one of the key guys that makes that thing happen. So be sure to go up there and shake his hand as well. Let's see, Nanog 69 is coming up in D.C. February 6th to 8th. And so that's in Miller's backyard, so he's going to be there.
Yep.
So definitely one of the main attractions for Nanog. Let's go give Miller a big hug. He's not a handshaker. He just wants you to give him a big hug. But he wants it from behind. He wants you to sneak up on and just bear hug him. So
I don't talking about yourself.
Hey, man, don't project onto me, okay? You can like what you like. There's nothing wrong with it. All right, so moving right along, we've got some Microsoft hardware, it appears. So the first one is the Cap Light, or small C, big AP Light. Apparently it's got a couple of different case options, and then they put out the 3D printed files, right? So you can design
your own.
Yeah, it's
really cool. There's two files, the actual case kind of part that clips over the top of it, and then you can kind of design anything to mesh with that. So if you want to get yourself a little Donald Trump access point, or if you're not in favor of that, you want to get yourself a little Canada access point, just clip them right on.
Just the big maple.
Show your support for whatever you want.
So have you actually pulled up the 3D files and messed with them at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm all about that.
You're about that life. All right. So looking at the...
It's not dual band.
I was going to say, it looks like it's just 2.4 right now. 650 meg processor, 64 megs of RAM, BGN.
I would like to see a dual band version. It's only like $30, so you could deploy a lot of those and just give yourself blanket coverage.
It seems
and
like
you can put them anywhere. They're small enough that you can just kind of slide them in a panel, like put them actually behind your sort of GPO outlets and things as well.
If you had to kind of compare it size-wise, because, I mean, it's just the bare board that you can theoretically get, right, and then snap your case onto it. How big is the board? About the size of a pack of playing cards?
It's about the size of a map unit.
Okay.
So obviously it doesn't have the second port, but yeah, they're still super small.
PoEn, it does 802.3 AF or AT. That's nice.
And it's, once again, they've got that variable range. So it goes all the way from, I think it's 6 volts, all the way up
to 60.
5 volts. There you go.
Yeah. That's a big range.
Power that on whatever you want.
And they're saying suggested retail price is 29, so it'll be in the $25 to $30 range. That's not bad. It seems like all of the Wi-Fi deployments I do nowadays are dual band. I don't really do any 2 gigahertz stuff anymore.
It's like home access points and things. It'd be all right. If you're living in an apartment or something, you're trying to cover individual rooms that are back-to-back, probably not going to be a great idea for those sort of installs.
Still pretty cool. I like the direction they're going with it. It'd be interesting if they started doing that a lot of their other boards as well.
If it was like a 2, 4, or a 5 radio in there, and you can switch from one to the other, that would be fine. That would make it useful, because then you can alternate, you know, when you're doing an install of coverage.
And the processor's like, it's a 600 megahertz processor. You should be able to do 2.4 and 5.8 on that, no problems. If the hardware was in there, so.
Yeah. And even then, say the hardware makes it cost an extra $10, I'd be willing to pay that to get dual band. I wouldn't mind. I mean, it's still insanely affordable.
It's like a miniaturized version of the sort of WAP AC or something. It'd be then.
All right, moving right along, we have the CSS from Microtik, CSS 326 Cloud Smart Switch. Right, so their old switching line was the CRS, Cloud Router Switch. So I guess this is letting you know that they're sort of changing it a bit. Have we talked about these before? Are these brand new?
No, we haven't. So these are pretty new. I think we mentioned some of the changes to the CRS last time, some of the smaller ones, but this CSS is new.
Okay, so it looks
this
like...
This is the one that can run RouterOS or SwitchOS, right?
This one says it's SwitchOS powered, so I'm guessing it's SwitchOS only.
That's the small one that's next.
Yeah. So this is 24 gig ports. They're all copper. And then you have 2 SFP slots, or SFP plus slots, right? So those are going to be 10 gig. That's interesting.
But this one's really cheap, though, isn't it? It's like 140 bucks. That's pretty cheap. I mean, compared to the CRSs that were out before, that $200 for something like this.
Yeah.
$299 for the
fact that it's got those 10 gig, 10 gig uplinks is a lot of capacity there. But I've had some hits and misses with SwitchOS, so it'll be interesting to see if they've done anything more to it.
Yeah.
Who
was it speculating
that
they might be rewriting SwitchOS from the ground up? Somebody was speculating that.
I think Thomas was talking about that.
Yeah. That would be nice. It doesn't mention whether it's got STP or, I mean, since it's SwitchOS, right? I don't, is it going to be...
The brochure says it has non-blocking layer 2 switching, 16K host table, 4,000 simultaneous VLANs, port isolation, port security, broadcast storm control, port mirroring, rapid spanning tree protocol,
there you go.
Access control list, Microtik network discovery, SNMP version 1. I don't think that's going to be helpful. Web-based GUI.
All right,
you get at least 2 in there, right? Because you're going to have the 64-bit counter overflows or 32-bit counter overflows. And it's hard to track usage on it.
I didn't hear LACP either, so it doesn't sound like you can do bonded.
No,
it's powered by a Marvel DX switch chip, which I think is what the new part is.
Interesting.
Might have to do a bit of research and follow up in the comments.
All right, and then next is the CRS 106, which is a, it looks like the other small switches, you know, the five port sort of switches, only this one, instead of copper ports on the front, it's all SFP ports, and on the back it looks like it's a, it's got a combo port that's either copper or SFP, so theoretically six SFP ports or five SFP and one copper gig port. Looks like it's coming in about $60. You guys have any interest in this thing?
For little jobs and stuff, like, it's a great miniature fiber switch that you can just deploy anywhere, and you can power it by a PoE as well.
It's so, also got console on it.
Yeah, it does.
That's new. That's new in this form factor, though. They haven't had console that I know of in one of these little white boxes before. That's RJ45. So.
You know what's more interesting is, for some reason, since this is, I don't know, in my brain I was thinking SwitchOS, this actually runs RouterOS. So that does make me a lot more interested. I was thinking it was just a switch. So it's got a
router switch.
It's got a 400 megahertz CPU, 128 gigs of RAM. It's a lot of RAM for such a small CPU.
Megabytes, not gigabytes.
Oh, I'm sorry, megabytes.
It does a lot of caching.
I can't read, think, and talk all at the same time. That's not how that works. Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, it's, it's low power, so you don't want to, I mean, you don't want to do any filtering
once again, you,
or anything like that. But.
Yeah, and you're coming back to the standard, to the MikroTik power here. It only does 11 through to 30 volts, so no standard PoE to this one.
Yeah.
But
so,
still, for the price, having a cheap little SFP-enabled switch, it's not bad.
Yeah, and it does do PoE in, right? So you could PoE inject this and have this in a very inopportune, out-of-the-way place if you had to aggregate some fiber,
yep.
I guess. If you need to do a silent tap on somebody's fiber, you can hide this somewhere and bridge in between. There you go. Well, that's cool. That's interesting. I'm sure there's a niche for that somewhere. Let's see. You guys have anything else you want to beat on that, or do you want to move on?
I'm good there.
All right, excellent. So next is the UCRM that just got announced by Ubiquiti, and that's Ubiquiti CRM, Ubiquiti's WISP management platform. I'm surprised it took them this long to actually put one out. From my understanding, it's going to kind of integrate your billing and customer management all together. I think it's going to be able to, I guess, interface with some credit card processing for reoccurring billing. Automated suspension of customers, right, if they don't pay. Supposedly some kind of CPE outage detection. So I guess it's going to monitor your CPEs. Easy access to customer database, network monitoring and alerts. So it's going to graph some of your infrastructure as well. That's cool. Invoicing payment processing. Says you get to install it on your local site, so it's not cloud-based. So you actually get to own it and hold it inside. What do you guys think about this?
I think it's a really good thing. I've been poking around. They've actually got a demo up that anyone can log into and have a look around. I found it quite amusing, though, as they wasn't like the sort of demos where things are locked down and you can just inspect it. The first couple of times I logged in, people were just going nuts with it. Like, you'd see the currency would change like four times in 5 minutes, and there was clients being created from all over. But it definitely has all the features in there. A few little bugs and things I found poking around through the invoices section and payments and things. But it looks like they are, like, it's nearly there. It's looks like it's nearly ready to be released to everyone. And if that's the case, that's a bit of a game changer for people that are currently paying for WISP billing software. So
yeah.
You can just plug something like this in if you've already got Ubiquiti in your network. And they say it works with other systems as well. So
it kind of reminds me of what MikroTik was trying to do of User Manager, but it definitely blows the User Manager out of the water.
Yeah, this is 100% WISP. Like, there's no hotspot sort of setup.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's hotspot either.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll add that. The Unify has hotspot stuff capability built into it, so maybe they just that's like version 2.0 what they're gonna add, hopefully. Yeah.
So you think the Visp and the Wismon guys are a little bit worried about this?
Not at all. It's so far behind from a lot of those platforms.
It's very clean though.
Yeah. The UI
is
great.
Clean and simple to navigate.
I think a lot of those platforms can learn a lot from looking at the user interface and how it works, but I think it's feature deprived for the most part.
Fair enough.
Got such a big head start too, you know.
Yeah. Not to say. Well, I mean, plus the other guys already have such a big customer base. I know that,
right.
And the UCRM is free, right? They're going to give this away free forever. Whereas the other ones are paid to play.
And something else to consider is that Ubiquiti isn't known for quite being easy to contact and get support for some of their products. So this might get abandoned. And so if you go with someone like this for PowerCode or Wismon or Bright Wi-Fi, you got support there. So.
Yeah. Free, sometimes you get what you pay for when it comes to that, right?
Well, I always think that this way, if you look at a system like this and you go, what happens to my customers if this goes offline? Like, how much money do I lose not being able to bill my customers if this service goes offline? And how fast could I reasonably get up a replacement or a backup system? So if you don't have any sort of support, if you can't call someone about it, if that is what is managing all of your users, then you need to make that calculation in your head or put it down and say, what's it going to cost me to pay for a system versus what am I going to lose on this free system if it's offline for a day, 2 days, 3 days?
Yeah, absolutely. And also the burden of administration is on you. So whenever that server needs updates, cross your fingers and hope it's not going to interfere with the UCRM system. Or if it crashes and burns, it's on you to completely rebuild it, right? Whereas if you're going with a hosted provider, you have that peace of mind, right? That they're going to take care of it. If something does happen, they're going to do the restore and get it back up. And then a lot of times you have recourse. You're going to have some sort of an SLA. That's nice. Helps you sleep at night occasionally. Any other points of interest on that, or are we moving on?
I noticed they do some sort of NetFlow stuff in there, which is interesting. So I'll be very eager to see the system requirements when they come out. Like NetFlow, doing that sort of monitoring is generally quite CPU and then hard disk intensive. Like if you're trying to store 2 gigabits of traffic that's flowing through your network and work out who everything's going to and then store all of that information for later use.
It seemed like it was only for usage tracking, like how much this particular subscriber actually transfer over a period of time. I think that's what it was. It doesn't seem like it was kind of like where this person is visiting.
Gotcha. So maybe just
how much YouTube. It's not like that.
Maybe they're just dumping the stuff. But they do have like an unknown devices section, so you can actually see the IP addresses it's monitoring. So it is keeping some of the stuff there and monitoring the actual upload and download. Like you can see here, unknown devices detected in the NetFlow monitoring for the last 7 days. IP addresses listed below don't belong to any active client services. So it's got the usage for them and when the last activity from them is seen. So that to me says they are storing a small amount at least, and maybe it's just 7 days worth.
Gotcha. So I'm assuming this is going to appeal more to the intro-ist, right? The guys first walking in the door. Ubiquiti is this cool, inexpensive product. We can slam a WISP together, and they've got this back-end system that will help us.
One-stop shop, basically, at this point. You get the hardware, you get the radios, do it all. You got the routers and switches.
So
you got the access points. You've got,
So it's basically
the management platform.
It's basically training wheels, right? So
seems to be coming together a little bit.
Yeah. You get started with this, and then, once you grow and you outrun the feature set this is capable of, and you want somebody else to manage.
Deploy a second one.
That, or you start shopping around and also a lot of those, I think like the Visp and the Wisp, everybody, they go tiered, so your pricing, as you get more customers, it gets cheaper. So maybe once you have enough subscribers, you know, on the UCLRM system to switch over. Maybe that'll help you.
Platform that that looks, I think the only platform that looks better than this, besides Bright Wi-Fi, is Sonar. Sonar looks pretty good. Its user interface and the way it acts and the way you can control it and everything is pretty slick.
I would agree with that.
Cool. All right, so Andrew was keen to talk about this. This actually came in from one of our listeners. I'll look up his name here in just a second because I forgot to paste it in here, but it's the P-Cells system. He was banging down our door to take a look at the P-Cell stuff, and Andrew is, I think, the only person that's read it so far, so I'm going to lean on him a little bit harder while we look at it. So give us in a nutshell, what is the P-Cell system?
Yeah, so the sort of 30-second overview is that P-Cell is seeking to solve problems that are found with the current 4G, LTE, 5G towers that are going up today by putting these miniature software-defined radios that can be placed on PoE runs and actually have hundreds of the things deployed and then all controlled from a central box that manages what bands they're talking in, the clients that they're accepting, and they work together. So having 5 or 10 of them in an area, they don't actually interfere with each other because they're all being controlled by a central hub, basically. The really cool part is that because they are software-defined radios, I think it goes from something like 400 megahertz through to 6 gigahertz, these little devices, and they're about the size of like one of those, what are they, the Apple USB adapters that you get. So they're about this long and this big, and you can just stick them in line on a PoE run and run 5 or 6 of them across there. But once again, because they're so flexible with the actual frequency they're running on, the idea is that they want to initially use them for cell tower networks, but they're also looking at doing 2.4 gigahertz access points, 5.8 gigahertz access points, 900 megahertz. You could even have them used for sort of public safety stuff as well.
Yeah.
Just super flexible, and it's the smarts and the controller that makes that all possible. So I think it looks really cool, and I think people should keep an eye on it, especially when you're dealing with places like stadiums and things where it's very hard to get good wireless coverage, just running individual access points. Something like this is going to be a game changer because you're putting up a small, it's like a micro cell basically, mm-hmm. covering maybe 5 or 10 meters around that device, and that's all it needs to. And if you've got two of them there, then every user that's connecting up to them is getting full speed on the device they're connected to.
So,
whereas towers are cutting it off.
Let's talk about how they actually get connected. Let's say you have an iPhone, right, or an Android device.
Yeah.
You're connecting to this. A lot of this says it's LTE. LTE 5 gig, and then
yeah.
It says fixed wireless. But so are we talking about Wi-Fi connectivity for cell phones using these or LTE connectivity for cell phones, and how does that work with your carrier?
It is LTE. So the idea is that a carrier would roll this sort of service out. So you can, as a carrier, you might go into somewhere like a stadium and just run a ring of these things around the whole stadium, maybe putting one every 20 meters. Then when it's game time and there's thousands and thousands of people in there, rather than all of them connecting up to the cells nearby, you'd have maybe 5 or 10 people on each one of these P cells. Therefore, the bandwidth available to that P cell is divided between those clients. So that's the idea.
These are the same kind of. They look a lot like the Ubiquiti PoE adapters that they had out for a little while. They're really small. They have an Ethernet port on either end, and
yep.
That's exactly what these things look like. Pretty neat.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, a few videos.
Something that pops into mind is when you say that they're software defined and they can go from X range to Y range. You'd still need to change the antenna when you're making like a dramatic change, right?
The antenna's integrated with them.
Yeah, that's the software defined radios have that whole band, so you can just reprogram them basically.
So I guess the fact that they're not designed to go very far is what will allow them to use just a single antenna to go that entire frequency sweep, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, and they're also made, the signals that they transmit deliberately interfere with each other, so they're combining with the other P cells in the area to...
So it's like beamforming over... Not from the same radio, but different radio.
That's interesting. Yeah. So they act as if they are one radio, then.
Correct, and it's
with multiple antennas.
The way they say it is the P wave radios transmit a signal, and two or three of these radios create a P cell that everyone can connect up to, even though they might only be connecting to one radio or sending stuff back and forth between different ones.
That's interesting.
The then controller that they deploy that defines and handles all that. So,
and I guess you're operating in the hopes that that you're not going to get interference from. Because I mean, I think of an arena as like a big metal salad bowl you're sitting in, and all those signals are going to bounce around. So even if you have three, I guess a P cell, right, like a very small microcell over here on the west side of the arena, you're still going to hear all of the transmissions from the east side from all those phones. It's just going to carry straight across. So,
yeah,
I think the idea
is that having the other P cells on both sides there, you're canceling out that because they already know about those transmissions.
There's so timing involved, so you can ignore it, expect to hear it, and ignore it. Maybe.
Gotcha. Since this is like some kind a of provider sync. Thing devise for, I mean, it's not a Wi-Fi sort of technology then.
But the current protocols are LTE, non-line of sight, fixed wireless, Wi-Fi, and the future protocols they have down is IoT, 3D positioning, and wireless power.
All right. Well, I mean, if you're trying to do this
wireless power
Wi-Fi,
is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about Wi-Fi. You know, it's contention-based medium. So if they hear somebody else talking at a high enough frequency, your phone's not going to talk. Even if the P cells are intelligent, there's everybody. I mean, you know what I mean? There's just going to be so much congestion.
Yeah.
So they probably have not as much gain on the antennas on the P cells themselves. So the P cell isn't going to hear a phone talking on the other side of the stadium.
Yes, it will. Well, even
if it's like a 1 dB radio,
yeah. Well, I mean,
theoretically
it could, but the phone you're holding in your hand is going to hear the transmissions of the phones across talking to that other P cell. They're going to make it all the way across to you. So then it's still going to turn into trash because, right, in an outdoor venue, maybe this is not as big a problem. But I just know from my experience in the forum, in the Grizzlies FedEx forum, a single phone, I could go anywhere in that arena, even when it's 100% packed full of meat, you know, all those people to attenuate the signal, and I could still hear them. So it kind of doesn't matter what you do if you're in an arena.
What if all the P cells talked at the same time and listened at the same time?
It doesn't matter.
That means all the cell phones would talk at the same time, and they
Craig's
wouldn't be
talking
listening.
About the clients.
Your
that
phones,
the,
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter how intelligent the P cells are. Your phone's still just a dumb brick you're holding in your hand. That aren't, you know, because the P cells are all communicating together, right? They might have the intelligence to know when to speak and not, but every phone that's out there is an island unto itself, and it doesn't realize what everybody else is doing.
So that might be the case with 2.4 and 5 gigahertz, but doesn't LTE splitting work differently?
I think
that's
the works.
Aren't they defined the sort of tower determines who can talk when?
I think they get time slices, right?
Yeah, because from what I watched a couple of their tech videos where they explained how the system worked. So they would run up 16 iPads or something and put 16 radios around. And they would show how even moving one around would cause it to reassociate to different P cells. And they could show that each of the devices would be able to receive the full transmit rate of a P cell while it was there. But if they cut them down to, say, 4 P cells, you'd see that all drop to like a quarter of the speed. So that's how they were doing it. And they were saying it handled that slicing. But I'm keeping an eye on them because
Since they're software-defined radios, they could act as a client as well. So AP or client?
Yeah, I imagine they could. If they're a client, they'd have to have some sort of connection back because all of the radio parts are being controlled by that central stack or whatever they have.
Yeah.
And like you said, they're all designed to be cabled together, one for power and two for that comms piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So were you thinking about some kind of a... like a mesh network thing, Miller?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that, but also, it says non-line of sight, fixed wireless, LTE, and so I was kind of thinking,
That would
how
be
would you?
cool.
So I guess you could potentially take any LTE client and attach it to these kinds of things. You can take a Bicell's CPE and attach it, or you can put a SIM card in your cell phone and attach it if it's unlocked. I was just thinking about what kind of applications you could actually do with that.
If you could put smarts into that sort of thing as well, you could have it, you could get it to the point where if there was some sort of link that was disconnected or whatever, you've got enough radios deployed there that they could do that sort of like self-healing mesh and find out, just
One of them
run whatever
dies.
spectrum is least congested, right?
Is if one of them dies, your whole chain dies past it.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's not going to
That
get
could be a
power,
I'm
so
assuming,
yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
if it's not going to get power, then
How much do these things cost?
no idea at this point, which probably means a lot.
Well, I mean, if they're really only marketing to carriers right now, that probably means, yeah, they're going to be fairly pricey. All right. A very interesting technology, though. There's a lot of problems that are kind of impossible to solve. I'd be curious to see if they could. I mean, that microsite seems to be the only thing that can really, in my mind, in a stadium. Like, the best thing would be to put little micro APs underneath seats, right? Because all those bodies are going to help attenuate the signal. You know, big bags of water and meat, you know, are going to eat up signal pretty good. And if you could just kind of keep it to a really relatively limited area, clients are still going to have problems. I mean, there's
Have you
not like.
tested this MythBusters style? We need to get some bags of water and meat and just sit them in chairs.
I imagine like a slaughterhouse where I have all the
And we're going
little
to blow the
towels
water.
hanging all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think about users, I think about meat. There's different piles of meat for me. Okay. Let's see, and the guy who actually sent us that tip was Stephen Gilbert. I'm not sure if he wanted me to say his name out loud, but there it is. You're internet famous, buddy. Thanks for the tip. We're going to keep watching it. And again, if any of you other guys have anything you want us to call you out on, be sure to send it our way.
So another thing that we had was the Mimosa Spectrum Analyzer breakdown on the forum, and I guess Mike was asking a question: can we get a real time, like super real time, constantly updated real spectrum analyzer? And I guess Chris on there replied back to him and basically explained how it worked. And it's like every 2 seconds it takes a 5 megahertz sample out of the range at random, and so it. Over 5 to 10 minutes, it generates that graph, and while it does that, it drops off old data. So he said it was po technically possible for them to increase the scheduler and make it more real time, but it would reduce the link capacity while it's on. But it's a feature request that was submitted, so it was just cool. It was a little insight into how it works, and very useful knowledge.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, well, it looks like we've come to the end. This is a nice tight one. This one was only about 30 minutes. So people will maybe stay awake and not fall off their towers, you know, snoring. Do you guys have anything additional? Any interesting bits? Nope, you're all dead to me.
I think
All
that's
right.
about it.
So, Miller, if people want to get a hold of you out on the interwebs,
I have a blog,
yeah.
signstatic.net,
All right.
signstatic.net.
Sweet. Don't follow you on
I'm on
Facebook.
face. I'm on Facebook too, so.
Gotcha. He'll probably ignore you. He ignored me for ages. I'm just kidding. He didn't. Exactly. All right. Mr. Cox, if you want people to find you out on the internet, how do they go about doing that?
So I got the blog site, microtik-radars.com, which is obviously entirely unofficially anything to do with Microtik, but it's got some handy stuff on there. And admin@microtik-radars.com for email.
Sweet action. All right. And you guys can find me at gregsoul.com. You always got to push that brand. I don't know why you guys don't use your names. You got to pump that brand. Always be selling.
There's a very famous football player called Justin Miller, which had that domain taken.
You could make it the real Justin Miller.
You just don't have the body for it.
I just was like thinking a long time ago, what kind of username could I have that would be kind of cool? So I picked up dynamic and static and just static together.
Like
so
it. There's the etymology. I didn't realize that's where it came from. Yep. All right. So you guys can find me on my blog. You could probably find me on Facebook. I don't friend a lot of people on Facebook. I do the group stuff though. So there's that. Let's see. We have constantly updated content on Facebook, I should say. Mike Kamut's responsible for that, so if you love it, if you hate it, you pretty much got that guy to blame. But he's super responsive, so he's always putting up new updates. Actually, some pretty decent conversation pieces up there, what I really like. You know, I love seeing people kind of go back and forth. I think Mike loves stirring the pot occasionally to keep things more interesting. It is what it is. But
he loves horns.
Yeah, there you go. So if you guys want to send us any questions, any comments, anything like that, please hit us on Facebook. Mike's going to hit you back in probably about 30 seconds, give or take. You can also hit us at contactus@thebrotherswisp.com. The P-cells actually came through there and then eventually through the Facebook when we weren't responsive enough. You got to keep us honest, man. Keep us accountable. So be sure to reach out, questions, comments. If there's anything particular you want to hear about, if you're tired of hearing about a specific subject, let us know that too. So I guess from us, this is number 39 in the bag. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.